We are learning the Sikha of Mishpatim Beis in Chelek Tazayin. And we're going to read it B'Lashon Harav in Yiddish and translate and try to explain it in English. The Sikha is on the first discussion of Parshas Mishpatim, which is in the second Pasik. Kisikne Eved Ivri, Sheishonim Yavid, Ubashvi, Yetzer Lachov Shechinam. The Torah says, when you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year, he shall go to freedom without charge. So, Pasik Kisikne is Rashi Matik, Diverte Kisikne Eved Ivri. Rashi quotes these four words, Kisikne, if you buy Eved Ivri, a Hebrew servant, un is Mefarish. And Rashi comments on these words, and it says as follows. That what does the Pasik mean? Kisikne Eved Ivri. Eved she'u Ivri, a servant who is a Hebrew. Oy einoy elo avdoy shel Ivri, or perhaps this is incorrect, that the servant is a Hebrew. Perhaps the pasuk means only a servant, a slave, which belongs to a Ivri, belongs to a Hebrew. And who is this? What does it mean? It means Eved Knani, shelakachto im Yisrael. It's a Knaniite slave, which was bought from a Jew, from a Ivri. Ve'olavu Oimer, and about this servant, the Knaniite slave, is what the pasuk says here. Shei shonim yavoit, 6 years he shall work and go free on the seventh. This is on the assumption that this is what the pasuk may refer to. Continues Rashi, batumani mekayem ve'isnachaltem oisom. But if so, then what do I apply the pasuk, which is written in Vayikra in Parshas Behar, and there the Torah says regarding a slave ve'isnachaltem oisom, that the slave should be bequeathed to the family, and it should be go over from generation to generation to the other children. Which means, in other words, that it speaks clearly about a Canaanite slave who remains in the possession of the family, which owns that slave. And the Torah says that you should end them down from generation to generation. In our pasuk, it says that a Canaanite slave, seemingly, if that's what we are talking about, he actually goes free at the end of 6 years. So which slave is what the Torah speaks in Parshas Be'ar that is being ended over v'isnachaltem from generation to generation? To answer this question, Rashi says that it's possible that there are two types of Knaniite slaves. There's one, belokuach min agoy. It applies to a slave who was bought from a goy, from a non-Jew. And if the Canaanite slave was bought from a non-Jew, he remains in the family's possession. Aval, belokuach miYisrael, yetzer b'sheish. But a Canaanite slave who was bought from a Jew, that Canaanite slave should go free at the end of 6 years. So the psukim are both talking about Canaanite slaves, but one is about a Canaanite slave who was purchased from a non-Jew, and he actually stays with you forever, while the pasuk regarding the 6 years which we're learning in this parsha is a Canaanite slave which was bought from a Jew, and he goes out after 6 years. בלוקח מן מקיים וסחלת מויס בלוקח מן הגוי אבל בלוקח מישראל. But if he was purchased from a Jew, he was the original owner, Talmud loy, and that is Yetzer B'Sheish. And for that Rashi brings, there is a pasuk later in Chumash Dvorim, which clearly says, כי מוכר לך אחיך או עברי, או עברי או ואבותך שישונים, that your brother, a Hebrew man, it says Hebrew, Ivri, would be sold to you. He should serve for 6 years, and on the seventh year, he shall go free. So from that pasuk later in Chumash Dvarim, it comes out clearly that this halacha about 6 years, only works with someone who is your brother, which means a Hebrew slave who is your servant, but not a Knaaniyat slave. So this is what Rashi says. The Rebbe asked, Dafman Verstein, Aleph, the Perush is doch nor of the Werter Eved Ivri. Rashi comes really to explain what is the meaning of the word Eved Ivri, the Hebrew servant. So then the question is, for was is Rashi matik euch die Werte kisikne? Why does he also quote the word kisikne? If you buy, seemingly the word kisikne doesn't add anything to the explanation about which slave we are talking about. And as the Rebbe adds in the footnote of 3-star, that if Rashi would have take only explained the words Eved Ivri, so then this Rashi would have come after the next Rashi, because the next Rashi also begins with the word kisikna, and it actually explains the meaning of kisikna, what type of sikna, that somebody who was, how was it sold to you, and how are you buying them. So as it says in the footnote, to be mele, if Rashi would have only copied the words Eved Ivri, which is matter of fact, which he's explaining here, or your dibura maschil ze bo beperush Rashi, then this dibura maschil, this adder of the words Eved Ivri would have come after the next one kisikne, that would actually fit with the order of the pasuk. So this is the first question. Why does Rashi quote the words ki sikne? If you buy, if he doesn't explain it. And he continues, mikenit zogin, as Rashi zeimatik. Zu lebdem, was von zei keme sich misteyer sein, als do retzich wegen an evet shu ivri. In other words, Rashi wants to use the words ki sikne if you buy, because the words ki sikne, as we're going to see later in Rashi, is referring to a slave who was sold by the Beis Din. V'Rashi is mefarish weiter, as kisikne muzi redden, in an eifen from machru Beis Din. That actually the court was the one who sold them. And this aloha, that the evet can be and would be sold by the court, but does yishayich nor by an evet shehu ivri. So since this concept is only when the Eved, the servant, is a Hebrew, so therefore Rashi copies those words to kisikne Eved Ivri, because the fact that we're talking about buying from a servant who was sold by the court is only applying to a Hebrew servant, and therefore Rashi perhaps brings also those words. But that is not really enough of an answer. Why? Weil Aleph, or der Echrech von Rashi, as do retzig wegen Machru Besdin, is nit von die Werter kisikne, no mit za die Ture dekro, mi balti steht schon, wich yomach och icho imach, ben nim karloch. Rashi, as we're going to see later, we're going to speak about this Rashi. Rashi's proof that this pasuk by us actually talks about a servant sold by the bezdin, by the court, is not from the word kisikna, if you buy. Rashi supports this opinion from the fact that there is a pasuk later in, like we mentioned before, in Parshas Behar, which that pasuk seems to be redundant, seems to be extra, and from that Rashi learns out that we're speaking over here about a special case, and the case is that the Besdin court was the one who sold them. So it's not from the word kisikna. Veiz ad rabbe oich oder echrech as mochu Besdin mitzadem posig v'chiyom chochicho ishayich davke leachar miotchen arechoche von frier. As do retzich wegen evet shehu ivri uni chel ivri. This proof that the pasuk here talks about that the court was the one who sold them, and the fact that you learn it out even from the fact that it says later Vechiyom Chochicho, which is seemingly an extra pasuk, and it teaches you that it's a case where the bezin had to sell him. So this is actually only established once we are accepting that here we are talking about a slave who is a Ivri, and not a slave which belongs to a Ivri. We're talking about a slave who is a Jew, not who is being owned by a Jew. That's what proves us, and that's how we can get into the whole discussion, that when a slave is being sold to you, it talks in a case that the best in the court sold him. This is Mashma Oichonim Seda from the Pirushim in Rashi. Was there is Magdim dem Perush, was his Akoponim be Iker of Eved Ivri, Farn Perush of Kisikna. And Rashi also, first he offers the explanation which refers primarily to Eved Ivri, discussing that it's a Hebrew servant, and only afterwards he explains the word Kisikna. So clearly, Rashi is, in the words Eved Ivri, is the whole meaning of the fact that this is a Eved, which is a Jewish servant, right? And therefore, the question is, why is he also quoting in his header the word Kisikna? This is the main question over here. Why is Rashi also copying the word Kisikna if he seemingly only explains the words Eved Ivri? Beis, the second question. Vi kumt gora ave amine, as the title von Eved Ivri is Avdoi shel Ivri. Why would we support that when it says Eved Ivri, it means the servant of a Ivri? Lichura is mer pashet, as Eved Ivri meant Eved Sheu Ivri. When you read the words Eved Ivri, it's more simple to say that Eved Ivri means that a servant who he is Ivri, who is Hebrew. Bimizetas bekama becomes betera. Like in the Torah we find, by Nar Ivri, wegen Yosef, it says regarding Yosef, v'shom itonu Nar Ivri, a Hebrew young man, which means that he was Hebrew. Unoich in Tanakh, when it comes to Divrei Yomim, the Rebbe brings, that it talks about one of the people in Divrei Yomim that his name was was Shesher. So it says in the pasuk, "Lesheishon veloyoy lesheishon bonim kim bonois, ulesheishon eved mitzri ushmo yarcho." That this guy Sheishon had no boys, he had girls, and he had an eved mitzri. He had an Egyptian servant, and his name was Yarcho. So when you say that Sheishon had an eved mitzri, that obviously means that the eved, the servant, was a mitzri. But the Perush is a Rodgata Mitzri als Eved. He had an Egyptian who served by him as a servant. So here too, Eved Ivri can mean a servant who is a Ivri, who is a Hebrew. And as they is Oichle, Muchach von Lashon HaKosiv, Eved Le'isha Moleiki. In the other end, we also have Psukim, and the Rebbe brings a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, which mentions the pasuk says, "Eved lehi vayemo lo David." He asked him, "Who are you?" Miato, and he says, "Now Mitzri onoichi." I'm an Egyptian. Eved leish amoleki. And because the pasuk meant avdoi shel amoleki, look at it. Eved amoleki. He doesn't say he was a Amalekite servant. Rather, no, Eved le'ish Amoleki. I'm a servant to a person of Amalek. So clearly you see that there is Eved Ivri can mean that the servant is a Hebrew. So why would we assume that even it says in the Torah, Eved Ivri, it means a Knainiite servant who actually belongs to a Ivri? That's the question. So Mefarshim Zogin, there are commentaries would say, as the Ava mine Avda shel Ivri, imitzadim diuk aloshin, kisikne Eved Ivri. von welchen sie es maschma, als er kauft das Saar, was sie schon in der Ewet von früher. Und bei Meile ist mir Stavr zu Deutsch in Avdoi Shell Ivri. So, what are those commentaries say? They say, the Zins that says, Eved, Kisikne Eved Ivri, that you purchase the Eved Ivri, so the fact that it says you buy a Hebrew servant, these words imply that the person who is being bought was already a servant before being purchased. Right? Eved, Ivri. You're buying a Eved, and then it says Ivri. So therefore, it is reasonable to understand that the Pasuk also means that he is a servant of a Ivri. Because the word Eved is mentioned before Ivri. So here they explain, those commentaries explain, that therefore it would mean that the servant is actually not the one that you're talking about, the Ivri, but he's a Eved. And what Ivri? He belongs to a Ivri. That's actually how the Maral explains it in others. But still, this is not maspik. This is not enough to explain that this is the discussion in this pasuk. Why? For ape from lashon akosef from shutish mikro is mer mashma as es retzir wegen avdoi shel ivri. Od Rashi the mid gedaft only even sein perush. Because if this is the actual meaning that it talks about a servant of a Ivri, then Rashi should have begin. When Rashi begins his remarks on the pasuk by focusing on this point and saying that we are talking about a Eved shel Ivri. Al derech dugme yochel avdoi shel Ivri. Because if that's the simple pshat, the fact that it says Eved before Ivri means that we're not talking about the Eved being a Ivri, so Rashi should have begun his pshat with that assumption, Yochel Avdo Yishel Ivri, und der noch a Shoyl sein, and then, after Rashi offering this explanation as an additional explanation, then he's going to negate the pshat and say, Talmud Loimar, being there's a pasuk later which proves that Echech has meant Eved Shehu Ivri. That the Eved is a Ivri. But from them was Rashi Eib Gleichon Eved Shehu Ivri. By Rashi opening with the fact that we're talking about the servant, he's a Hebrew. Meaning that this is the first assumption that the Pasuk is being understood. Is Muchach, Ados is the erste Svore, Mitzutaitchen dem Pasuk. That this is the first, when you read the Pasuk, this is the first the first understanding of how the pasuk is being read and what does the pasuk mean. It's only afterwards. There's noch the noch vet asofek oyeno elo avdei shelivri. Only afterwards, Rashi raises the doubt. Perhaps that refers to a servant of a Hebrew. But Rashi also understood that eved ivri means that the eved himself is a ivri, not like the meforshim. The other commentaries explain that since it says Eved, and only after the word Ivri, therefore, we would have assumed that the Eved is of a Ivri. So since we don't accept that explanation, and even Rashi himself doesn't seem to accept it as the given explanation, so then the question goes back, why would someone assume, by seeing the words Kisikne Eved Ivri, that it actually means not that the Eved himself is a Ivri, but is a Eved of, who belongs to a Ivri. Gimel, the third question is, Favos dav Rashi bavorin en do, umani mekayem beisnachalte moisom. Why does Rashi here by us raise and resolve the difficulty that if you say that it talks about the Eved Knani, then we have a problem because there's a pasuk later which clearly talks about a Eved which is being handed over to the family and he does not go free after 6 years. Why does he have to raise the issue with that pasuk there? the kasha vet erish veren, as if it comes to dem posik, korev lesoiv, sefer vayikra. This difficulty would not come up now. Later, when you get to the posik, then you're going to wonder. I learned in Parshas Mishpatim that he goes out after 6 years. So what does that pasuk mean? That you keep a eved forever. But when you learn Parshas Mishpatim, you did not learn Parshas Be'ar, so you don't have an issue with that pasuk. You don't talk and you're not concerned about the fact that it might be a situation of an eved who is there working with you forever. So why is it being raised bechlal? Let's keep to the pasuk here, and we can understand that it talks about a ivri. Und chod as the mokke for dem ganzen pirush Rashi so mechilte. So even though Rashi quotes an explanation given in the mechilte, in the chiyudua kabidu kamam peromim, as alts was Rashi schreibe pirush ala teiro, is muchrach from pashtus aksuvim ala sar. Rebbe says many times he explained that anything that Rashi brings in his pshat, even when he brings a mechilta or a medrash, it's only because it serves an explanation in the pshat of the verses. That's why he brings it. As alvas Rashi pshat era is muchach v'rashi aksuvim ala sar, or the tzlam midem v'sis get gelernt frier. Ubifrat, as beniden di dan, da mont nid Rashi as the mokke for sein pirush su mechilte. So first of all, Rashi only brings this type of medrashim, which are based on the psukim, of the pshat of the psukim, which he comments upon. Or when it somehow relates to something which was learned previously from psukim, not from psukim which comes from later, like in our case, we're bringing a pasuk from Behar. And especially it's true in this case that Rashi does not even quote the Tetzal Mechilte. So the Refun is Muchach, is Verstandig, and the ganze Perush is Muchach, aber Pshut Hashem Mikro Do. It's clear that Rashi's entire interpretation is necessary according to the Pshat. And the question is, why would according to Pshat, why would we assume, why would someone want to say that that when it says kisikne eved ivri, it wouldn't be as the simple understanding that the eved is a ivri, but rather it talks about a knani and trying to come up with different types of knaniite slaves. One was owned by a Jew, one was not owned by a Jew. This is the pshat, this is the shailas, the questions in the psukim. Before we continue, I'm just going to see two orders over here that the Rebbe explains something which relates to this psukim. In the beginning, when it talks about Eved Knani, so we know that there were the Knanim, one of the nations in Eretz Yisrael, and when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, we weren't allowed to keep them alive. So the question is, which Knani does the Torah refer to? That you're going to own a servant who is a Knani, which belonged to a Jew. So the Rebbe says in order to Knani, Afki Knani loved Afki. Even though it says the word Knani, it doesn't literally mean the Knani. Not necessarily means the Knani. Ki'im. He writes, quote, Kol echod mikol boye oilam chutz mi Yisrael. The Benetes Knani, it means any other servant from any of the inhabitants of the world, any non-Jew, except the Jewish servants. But it doesn't necessarily mean Knani. Ula yeshloimar. But still, why is it called by the name Knani? It says by Noach, Eved Avodim Iye. That this is the common way of Chazal, that they speak in a language which is, it's called Be'oive. Literally, it means a contemporary language, but the idea is They talk of things were then called or named, even though practically or literally it does not mean that. Well, since Banoyach it says that Knan is a Eved Avadim, will always serve as a servant, as a slave, so the Chachomim use the term Knan. But the Rebbe asked, Bladayin Tzorech Yom Godl. Kim Shenitztavu Loi Techaye. Since we were commanded later, Loi Techaye, that we can't have a Knaini remain alive in Eretz Yisrael, Ari Adarab. Then, is Adarab. Adarab means not only the word Knaini doesn't mean a contemporary type of servant, but the opposite. Mihem, mi'ahum istiknu. Veloy min agorim ha'knanim shebaratzachem. We're not allowed to buy from the Knanim, only from the other nations. Ve'im kein, arogel ve'ohiveu dafke mishara umois. The usual servant was the servant from the other nations, not the Knani. There's a chidush, the gam bno shel Knanis. If the mother is a Knaniite and she has a son, you can purchase the son of the Knaniite woman be'im aviv mishara umois, if the father came outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the chidush is b'nei she'oy lechachar aviv ve'eino knani, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, and Rashi brings it also in Chumash Dvarim, that the chidush is usually by the Jewish people, we go after the mother. When it comes to a knaini, so the chidush is that we don't follow the father's yichas. Rather, he's going to be, he follows the father, not the mother's. And since the father is not a knaini, so the child is also not a knaini, even though the mother is a knaini. So obviously, it's all chidush that you can have a child born to a Knaniite woman, and it will still be kosher to purchase him as an Eved. But a common Eved is necessarily not a Knani. So the question is, why does the Chachamim use the term Knani? V'inei b'chinuch, the Chinuch writes, and so it's in Rashi, in Kiddushin, Panei Arose, Kosa, ve'Eved Knani, Nikro, Echod Mikolo Umois, Shekono Yisrael Avdus, that what's a Eved Knani? Actually, it does refer to just a Gentile who was bought as a slave. Avol Nisyachsu Kol Avodim B'Shem Knan. Why are they referred to as Knan? It means that Knan is Kaleil Liyes Eved Hu Vezari Loilom. Since Knan was cursed to be a slave, him and his descendants forever, so that's why, says the Chinuch, is the reason a slave is called a Eved Knani. But the Rebbe writes on that, Ve'ine lefia niyudaiti tzolich iyun godl b'ze. This is majorly difficult to accept. Charei, ha-toyar Eved Knani motzinu rak le'achre yatzivu idoloitechaye. After the Torah tells us loitechaye, don't let any Knaniite alive, then we find that usually the description of Eved Knani. And the question is, Ve'eich ne'yaches kol ha'avodim le'knan, keshe'metzius Eved, v'mele kol dino v'ura keshe'en le'knani. How can we relate all servants to Knan, knowing that practically, there's not such a thing of an Eved being a Knani? Fakert, an Eved can only be even if he's not a Knani. So this is, for the order over here, is discussing the term Knani, but obviously as the Rebbe began, that the bottom line is that Knani does not mean Knani. Knani means any Eved who is not Jewish. We will skip to Order 15. In Order 15, when it discusses about the Eved Ivri, why would someone mean that it's a Eved Shel Ivri? So he says, bring from the Maskele David. Maskele David writes, Umeshane Rashi, Evet Shehu Ivri. He explained that Rashi says, Ados Rashi answered that it's not an Evet of a Ivri, but rather that the Evet himself is the Ivri. So Rashi says, Keloima, the Mashmalon Kro, Ke de Isse be Mechilte, the Mutalik Roysoi Evet Deler Bizoyen. That you are allowed to call the Evet with the name Evet, even if it's a disgraceful title. Shariatoiro koroi Evet al korhoi. The Torah called him with the name Evet. Vainu dichsiv kisikne. That's why it says kisikne. And then Evet Ivri, that miacha shekoniso isoi, areu beshem Evet lecho. Then you can refer to him with the name Evet. Afalpi sheu Ivri. So in other words, that's how the Maskele David wants to understand that in the words kisikne, Evet Ivri, is the permission to refer to that whoever you bought with the name Evet Ivri. So therefore, the Torah uses the word Evet before Ivri, even though Evet, as the Rebbe asked in Pnim, Evet means that he's already a Evet. The Maskele David says that the Torah is actually coming here to give you a special heter to refer to that purchased Evet with the name Evet, since you had to buy him. And when you bought him, it means that he's in the state of a Evet. But this is a kol zeinu b'Rashi, afilu b'remez. Clearly, you don't find it in Rashi. Upshite do yotzor Rashi lefarshoi. Rashi should have explained something like that. If the Mechilta says it clearly, then obviously Rashi should have said it too, and therefore the Rebbe doesn't want to accept that in Rashi this is the Pshat, Kisikne Evet Ivri, why the word Evet is mentioned before the word Ivri. That before you bought him is already a Evet. And it is betzayin to the Or HaChaim. To the Or HaChaim, HaKadosh also says, he writes, why does it say Kisikne Evet Ivri, not Ivri Evet? So the Or HaChaim says to tell you that before you purchased them, it was already a Evet. Because like the Gemara says, that we're talking about a person that the Beis Din sold them. So the fact that Beis Din sold them means that it's called Evet. This is, uses the word Kvanishayev Mishamayim. He's like liable to be referred with the name Evet already from before. And that's what it answers why the word Evet is mentioned, and which creates this whole discussion by Rashi, is the Evet himself a Ivri, or is it the Evet of a Ivri? So clearly, this is the questions that we have in Rashi, trying to understand, number one, question number one is, why does he also quote the words kisikne when he explained what Evet Ivri is? Question number two, why would I assume that Evet Ivri doesn't mean literally that the Evet is a Ivri, like we find in other places in Torah? And question number three, why does Rashi come here to explain how to deal with the pasuk in Be'ar, vis nachalte moiso? The beautiful Zeh, Rebbe comes and explains. It states frier in Pasik, as by Yitzias Mitzrayim, om Eden mitgenommen from Mitzrayim asach klei kesev u klei zov. It says previously that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they took with them an abundance of gold and silver utensils. This is when they left Mitzrayim. The Noch is by the Tzugikumen noch mer kesev ezov vechulu from Bizasayom. And then, at the time when they crossed the Yamsuv, they acquired even more silver and gold, which came from the Bizasayom, from the spoils of the sea. And this is Virashi Zokt of Vayasa Moshe, noch kriyas Yamsuv. That Rashi explains the word Vayasa Moshe, that Moshe led the people after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the sea, says Rashi, Ision Balkorchom, Sheitrum Mitzrayim Suseim Betachshite Zov Vekesef, Vavonim Tevois, Veoy Yisrael Moitzinoison Bayam, Vegdoilo Oiso Bidas Ayom, Bidas Mitzrayim. As Rashi brings, why did Moshe have to kind of pull them away from the sea, Vayasa? Because it was against their will. The Egyptians, as Rashi, dressed up their horses with ornaments of gold, silver, and precious stones. And the Jewish people were finding those items at the sea. This is the Bitas Hayam, as Rashi being, the spoils taken at the sea was even greater than the spoils taken from Mitzrayim, and they left. Thus Eis, which it means is, as by Ale Eden is Mekuyim Gibon the Aftoche, as they will obma rechush Godl. That promise that Hashem gave Avraham Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, during the Bris Ben Absorim, the covenant between the parts, that the Jewish people will come out berechush godl with great wealth, that was actually fulfilled by every Jew through the spoils of Mitzrayim and the spoils of the Yam. Now, as we see clearly, the scenario is that when it comes to money, there is no issue. They are loaded with silver and gold. From them is woven by Pashtus, as in a matzef and as a greiser, as shirus ba'idin, is them will need given shayach di metzias, as a yid zol vern an evet. But does ku mach masan nius un choyser moment. Obviously, it comes out that at the time when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they were very wealthy, and if they were very wealthy, it would have been impossible for any Jew to become a servant. How do you become a servant? Rashi already says clear that you become a servant only by being poor. You have no money, so either you steal, or you're going to, and that's why you have to become an eved to pay back what you stole, or you become a servant because you have no money and you're selling yourself as a servant so you can support yourself and your family. But if coming out of Mitzrayim, they were so wealthy, there was no need. And it was impossible that a person should have considered to become in the status of a eved, of a servant, of a slave. Un a yois of the pashe veila mishpotim kumt gleich noch matn teder. As man kotzor noch yetzias mitzrayim vikrias yamsuf. This pasha is the first pasha which follows last week's pasha, the pasha sisra, which is pasha of matn teder, the giving of the teder. Right? This pasha occurred right after, a short time after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after coming out of Egypt, in the splitting of the sea, is Mistaver as Lechol Reish, or the Rebbe Shteron gesagt Eden, the Mishpotim v'Tzivuim of Zachen, but an given Geya, u'motzu igleich, by Yenem Zman u'matzav. So we assume that the first thing makes sense to say, that when Hashem comes and gives us commandments, what is he going to tell us first? Commandments, which is dealing with matters that were immediately important, common in those circumstances. For example, Leistasu niti elekei kesev velekei zov, since we have so much silver and gold. So Hashem says, don't make things of anything that is with me. So don't do it. Don't make any gods of silver and gold. Mizbach Adomo Taseli, Mizbach Avonim Taseli, an altar of earth, an altar of stones. This is what you shall make for me. And this is the commandment which relate and are appropriate to be given as they came out of Mitzrayim and having all this gold and silver. Unito the Lav Davke Mizbeach Kesev Ezov. And Hashem wants to tell them that don't necessarily I want an altar of silver or gold, even though every one of you has so much silver and so much gold, I'm still not interested. I want Mizbach Avonim. This is what the assumption is what Teire is interested in discussing at that very given time. Der Iber noch dem Virashi is magdim evet shu ivri as the lashon evet ivri meant kepashtus evet shu ivri muzmen bavorinen oyein lo elo avdoi shel ivri. Therefore, Rashi begins that what does evet ivri mean? A servant who is a Hebrew. Telling us that Eved Ivri is to be understood the way the simple meaning is that what? Eved Ivri meant that he is a servant, he is a Hebrew. But at the same time, if that's coming right now after the giving of the Torah, after coming out of Mitzrayim, it's difficult to assume that that is going to be the first thing the Torah is teaching us. Rashi, therefore, has to also discuss the speculation that perhaps maybe it's referring to a servant shel ivri. Why? Mitad emshech v'seder haksuvim is the svarim mechayev as doretz v'gnav avdei shel ivri. Eved Kenani shelokachti miYisrael. Bibald as Eden, Yeder Ivri, Odan, Bald noch, Bizas Mitzrayim, Bizas Hayam Kanal, Giata Rechush Godel, Giata Echavodim Ushfoches. This is given, this is Gizog Vor Lifneze, but the Ser Sadibres, Avdecho Vamoscho. Because if you go with the flow of the psukim of the verses, it's very reasonable that this pasuk would probably talk about a servant who belongs to a Hebrew, a Canaanite servant, which was purchased from a Jew. Why? Why not a Jewish servant? Because at that time, immediately after going out of Egypt and the sea, as we mentioned before, every Yid possessed a rechush gadol, a great wealth. And their wealth also included manservant and maidservants, as we see even in the Aseres HaDibros. When it comes to Shabbos, it says, Avdecho v'amoscho, you maidservant, you manservant. So clearly everybody was wealthy. And therefore they had servants. So if the Torah uses now the opportunity to give us commandments, it's not reasonable to assume that we're talking about a Hebrew servant, because it's not practical at this very moment. There is more so-called pressing commandments than talking about a scenario which doesn't even exist at this time, based on what we own. And that is the reason why Rashi goes away from the simple meaning of Eved Ivri, that the Eved himself is a Ivri, and elaborates and discusses that perhaps the Torah talks about the Eved Shel Ivri, a Canaanite slave. This is the pshat in Rashi, why Rashi gives us this assumption. Because practically speaking, to have a Eved Ivri was very uncommon at that point. Before we continue, let's see a few of the footnotes. He says inside that by all the Jews there was the promise of Rechush Gadol, so there was no such a mitzias that a Jew should become an Eved, right? Everybody had everything. There's no idea going to become an Eved is because you're poor. It says in Ora 18, Ma she'ein ken b'yoysa b'mitzrayim, when they were in Egypt, she'dorshu chazal she'hoyo libnei Yisrael avodim ivrim. There is a pasuk in Irmiah, Chapter 34, it says, Ko yomar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Onoichi korati brises avisechem, I made a covenant with your ancestors, B'yoyim, Oitzi, Oiso, Meretz, Mitzrayim, Mibeis Avodim. So the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, Peri Gimel, writes on this Pasik. And he says, that when it says in Parsha Shmois, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Vayitzavim al Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, actually the Parsha of Shiluach Avodim, to send out their slaves, their Hebrew slaves. And the Yerushalmi brings that pasuk, that we just mentioned in Yirmiyahu. And the way the Yerushalmi understands the pasuk is that there was a tzivui even to send out your slaves while being in Mitzrayim. There was actually the first mitzvah that was given to him in Mitzrayim. And as the Korban Oedo says, that was a schus, that was a merit that they deserved, the ge'ula from Mitzrayim, was because they let their slaves go. In other words, the pasuk Vayitzavim Abnei Yisrael in Chumash Mois doesn't say what were they commended for. So the Yerushalmi learns pshat that they were commended on this mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim. And this is derived from the pasuk in Yirmiyah that this was the covenant Hashem made with the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, as it says there, Keitshev HaSholim Teshalchu Ish Esochi V'Ivri. When he took them out from Mitzrayim, somehow they were commanded to let their own Hebrew slaves free. So we see from here that while being in Mitzrayim, there was such a concept of being Eved Ivri. Avol b'yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbe continues, Nishtalchu Avodim Ivrim. Then the Hebrew slaves were sent out free. Kamuvim by Yerushalmi, Kamuvim by Yirmiya al pi Yerushalmi. Like it's in Yirmiya, in the Pasuk, according to the Yerushalmi, is this is what it means, and it discusses it in the footnote even further. The Tzivu Shiluach Avodim Oyo al pi Yerushalmi betchilas chazoras Moshe leMitzrayim, kashebni Yisrael b'shibudom. When the Jewish people were still enslaved, they were already told by Moshe that they have to let their Hebrew servants go. I guess they were slaves and they still had servants working for them, employed by them. Be'ilmiye mefurash, she'eder kiyum ha'shiluach evi golus bavel, that in the times of Yirmiyahu, because they did not keep that commandment, that brought about the golus of Bavel, al-koch tzuch leimar she'begolus Mitzrayim, that teaches us, the Rebbe learns, that in Mitzrayim, when they were told to let the Hebrew servants go, they actually kept their commandment. Sharei nigalu, we see practically they were redeemed. Val pizem muvin, de lo yishomu avisechem shebi'il mi yishom, ein lo yavisechem em Mitzrayim shelifne ze, ki im de asorim aleim diber ilmiya. That in that pasuk in Yirmiyah, when he rebukes them for not listening, he doesn't talk about the ones in Mitzrayim, who obviously did listen, the fact that they married redemption. Rather, it talks to the people that Yirmiyah was speaking at that time. But Lemaisa, we see here that in Mitzrayim there was such a concept of Avodim Ivrim, but not later, now that they are rich. As the Rebbe continues, Ve'oid ve'gam ze iker, even more so, kashekibel eved ivri bidas Mitzrayim, when let's say there was a eved ivri, but at the moment in Mitzrayim, the moment he received the spoil of Mitzrayim before they even left and before they crossed the sea, shezeoyo lifnei yitzias Mitzrayim bepoel. But before they left, let's say when yitzaltem es Mitzrayim, you should take advantage and take out the silver and gold for yourself from Mitzrayim. That was before they left. So if you were a Eved Ivri, vaday shepodo es atzmoi teichef miyad. So for sure, the first thing you did, it was to redeem yourself. So the fact is that at least when we stand now, after Matan Torah, seemingly there shouldn't be such a concept of Eved Ivri you should not have such a phenomenon of a Hebrew servant. This is the Ore 18 star. In Ore 19, when he said, inside, he says that the reason you sell a person is being a slave, it comes because of poverty or the lack of money. So he brings Ore 19, Ke'akosuv, She'uvo be'siyum pirush Rashi b'dibura maschila beis kisikna, like the pasuk which Rashi brings in the next kisikna, when he discusses that the Besdin was the one who sold them, Rashi brings the pasuk in Parshas Be'ar, v'chiyomuch ochicho imoch, v'nimka loch, and he was sold to you, v'chein b'machul Besdin. So, either because he was poor and he was sold to you, or because he stole and he didn't have money to pay back, and that's why he was sold to you, kebepirush Rashi shom. So this is the reason why someone becomes a slave, and that again didn't exist when we were standing now after Matan Torah. He continues, ve'af sheyochel liyois gam b'matzav de'ashirus. It is possible that a person has money and still is violating the prohibition of stealing, and he needs to now pay it back. This is Be'im Ovar Aleisachmoid Ve'goyma. The Aloch of Leisachmoid is that you cannot covet someone, meaning convince him to sell you something which he doesn't want to sell you, and until you're making him to sell it to you against his will. This is the halachic prohibition of leisachmoid. So it's possible that a person is rich and he takes his money to get something which he really desires for another person. And now when it comes to pay back, that person who he bought it from is not, he doesn't have the money to buy it. I'm sorry, to pay it back, and therefore is being sold as a slave. The Rebbe says that you can have the concept of leisachmoid or leisignoid, which is led by leisachmoid, in a state of ashirus, but leishchiach. It's impossible to say that it's not common. The ein loy leshalem chamisho, let's say, it's a situation of theft which it requires to pay five times the amount. So it doesn't make sense that you shouldn't have to be able to pay it b'ashirus muflogo, the bizas mitzrayim v'ayam, you shouldn't be able to pay it. That's very unreasonable to assume. Again, it continues in Ore 22, when he talks that each one had a lot of silver and gold. So he writes, he brings to the Gemara, Reib Choyre, Seyom et Beis, She'en lecho kol echod ve'echod mi'Yisrael, She'lo yoyu imoi tishim chamoirim luvim, Te'unim, at least 90 Lubian donkeys, loaded mi'kaspo u'ze'ovo shel Mitzrayim, the silver and gold of Egypt. So clearly this is something which, as the Gemara says, kol echod ve'echod, everybody had so much donkeys only carrying their gold and silver. Ubepirush Rashi boy, Yud Gimel, there is Rashi brings that the reason for that a petel chamor you have to redeem, so it's a gzeras akosu, but then Rashi brings a reason, because they supported us when we left Mitzrayim. What was the support of the donkeys? That each one took many donkeys from Mitzrayim loaded with silver and gold. And it says that in our print, it's written Bechatzi Eagle, She'en lecho echod mi'Yisrael shlo not alar b'chamoirim, loaded mi'kaspom zovom, but in Tfus Aleph, Beik, Savyad, it's not even Bechatzi Eagle, it's clear that Rashi takes the pshat, that this is the reason we are supporting, we have the mitzvah Petar Chamor. So clearly, we had every reason not to have, not to become a Eved. And if you are rich, you also had servants, you also had slaves. So the Rebbe brings in Ore 22, Al derech pirush Rashi, vayetze moicher tzoynoi. Rashi says that vayifroi tzoyish moid moid, that Yaakov became very rich, and he had tzoyn, rabois, shvochois, avodim, he had maidservants, menservants, ugmalim vechamoirim. So the Rashi says, moicher tzoynoi, that he was selling his sheep for expensive, and with the money he was buying servants, manservants, maidservants. So you clearly see that when you have money, you also have, and the adrabi, you are using the opportunity to get old and to own more of the servants. So that's what everybody also had. The Rebbe brings a Gemara, Re'e Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma, the Haman o Yomagid Lohem Lemi Shayach Evet. The Gemara says that the man was actually telling to the Jewish people, Mashe Bachoyrim or Mashe Bezdokim. Basically, the Gemara says when two people came to Moshe Rabbeinu for a dispute, so one says that this guy stole my Evet, my servant. And the other guy says, I didn't steal it, you sold it to me. So Moshe told them, Laboika Mishpot, let's see what happens next morning. If the extra Omer was found in the by the first guy's home, so we know that the second guy was the one who stole it from him. If the Omer was found in the second guy's house, so we knew that the first guy sold it to him. So clearly we see that not only the theoretically, but practically speaking, the Gemara actually emphasizes that there was avodim owned by the Jews in the Midbar, coming out of Mitzrayim. And this was not Jewish avodim. Because the Jewish people had enough money, they didn't have to become an avod. Where did the avodim come from? The Rebbe continues, V'af shelo imotzinu sh'oylem avodim mi'amitzrim. We don't find specifically that they took with them out slaves from Egypt. So where did they get avodim in the Midbar? The Rebbe says two explanations. Yishloimer, number one, Aleph, shekonu mitagre yumesoylem, that they purchased it from the peddlers. People used to go around in the Midbar and sell them things. Gambins, Manki, Asam, Samanteri, even in between the time periods after splitting the sea and coming to Har Sinai, there were people around from surrounding areas which sold things, so they also sold them avodim, and they bought with their silver and gold, they bought themselves avodim. And that's the Ebed of the Gemara talks in Yuma. Beis, a second answer, Arei Bizman Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hoyolem Avodim Ivrim. As we said before in Or 18, from the Yerushalmi, that while in Egypt, even their Baldi were slaves, they still had Hebrew slaves who worked for them. So even though the Itaki let them free, but if, since we see the scenario of having slaves, they also had Avodim Knanim. As it says also in Parshas Boy, V'chol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef, when it comes to eat from the Korban Pesach, so it specifically mentions a servant we acquired with money, and these Avodim Knanim were the ones who they were serving them while traveling to the Midbar. But either way, they themselves, the Jews, did not have to become Avodim. Even though maybe you will assume that this is that the Itaki did not have slaves at that moment, but since they are receiving the Torah, the plan is, as Rashi says in the beginning of Dvorim, that we are going straight into Eretz Yisrael from Har Sinai, Veshom Evet Meum Yisrael Mudavor Arogil VeAmotzi Chulu, and coming into Eretz Yisrael, that would be a common thing to have a Evet. And therefore, we understand that they're going to have avodim. And either way, the avodim are not going to be the Jewish avodim because the Jewish avodim are the ones that that they have. The Jewish people don't have to become avodim. They have enough money that they don't have to steal money from someone, and for sure not be so poor that they have to sell themselves as an avod. In Order 23, the Rebbe continues even further when it says that by Aseres Adibras, it says Avdecho v'amoscho. So he brings, this is regarding the Pasuk in Shabbos, Letase Kol Melocho. So he says in Order 23, Ubetziva Leisachmoit. It also says Leisachmoit. It mentions specifically Ve'avdoi v'amosoi. Umashma, the Avdecho, the word Avdecho, which says by Shabbos, Letase Kol Melocho Ato Avdecho. And Avdoi, which is written by Leisachmoit, Perushoi Kepshutoi. She'oyuloem avodim oz, that they then add the ready servants, kemoya shar, shemoyne bak suvim shom, just like the other, who the posik keeps on counting, ubincho, bitecho, beemtecho, eshezriyecho, shere vechamoyroi. All this is items which they had at that point, veloy rak she nemar al shemo osid, kebekamo mekoimus betoiro, lefishi elem leachize. Sometimes the Torah talks about something they will have in the future. Here it's definitely something which they are having ready now. And the avodim and the servants was something they had now, and therefore we know that they have it. And again, it the simple meaning can mean that it's not Ivrim, it's non-Jewish servants. Last Ora 24, when he makes the posik, Avdecho ve'amoscho. So he says, "Lechure Yeshloimar, dekosol kedaitoch, oyeino elo avdoi shel ivri evet knani, ulefi shebni Yisrael matnteren nasu bni Yisrael meshubodim li." He says there is a possibility to say as follows: why taka would someone assume that we're talking about a knani-eyed woman? Because matnteren the Eden became meshubed, became enslaved to Hashem, like Pirush Rashi Isroi. Rashi says in Isroi, Anoich Hashem Eloikecho, Asher Etesicho Meretz Mitzrayim, says Rashi, Kedai Yoitzoe, it was worth it to take you out, Shetivu Meshubodim Li. Ve'nemar, and it says also, Ve'atem Tiyuli Mamleches Koyanim, and Rashi says, what is Mamleches Koyanim? Sorim, ministers, as Rashi says. This is regarding the Yidden, that they were taken out from Mitzrayim to become servants of Hashem and carrying the status of a tsar. Vehefchoi beknan, by knan is the opposite. Shenemar boy, inoyach, it says that knan is oru knan, eved avodim, fakert, is to be a servant forever. Umpirush Rashi shom, what is eved avodim yele echov? So as Rashi says that even after they're going to go to Golus, the Bnei Shem are going to go to Golus, they will sell to them, to the Bnei Shem, those who are in Golus, they're going to sell to them Avodim from Knan. Eved Avodim Yiyeh Le'echov, Yiyeh Knan Eved Lomoy, to whom? L'Shem. Shem is going to have Knan as a Eved. Urei Toldos, and told us, so it says, also, yeah, that Yitzchok told Esav, Veskolechov desate loyla avodim, ul'oyer mipirush Rashi vayeshev, lamed zayin. Rashi Adir says, by Yosef was 17 years old, and they brought the bosom ro. So he used to discuss about his brothers, his sons of Leah, that eating Eva Menachai, and he was disrespectful to them by calling them, says Rashi, avodim. One of the things that Yosef was doing, he was calling them avodim. That's why he was punished, le'eved nimkar Yosef. Ve'im kim pashu, chekan le'achem matn tere, meduba be'eved knani. So since all these psukim indicate that the content of avodim is referring to the kids of Knan, as you see in Garding Noyach, and the Pashas Toldos, and this is the way they were. It's disrespectful to be a Eved, and therefore maybe Rashi here when it says ki tikne Eved Ivri, Rashi wants to say that's a Eved of a Ivri, because it makes more sense to say that the Eved is a Knani, not a Yid. Avol like the Rebbe Einoi, it's not so. Ki muvum sheitochen. She'echod irtze liyos avdoi shel odom gotel v'kayoytze b'ze. Yes, there is avodim, the way it's referred to Knan, but it's very possible to find the concept of Eved also regarding Yidden, because it's possible that somebody wants to be a Eved, a servant to a great person. Val derech hogor she'oyso bas paroi, she was the daughter of Paroi, v'nitna l'shifcho, and she became a shifcho, a maid to Sorai, and it says that even though she was Paroi's daughter, but when she saw the miracles happen to Soro, Paroi said, better let my daughter be a maid in the house of Sorai, and not to be a princess in my house. V'eved melech melech. And it's not a chidush to say that there has to be dafka avdoi shel Yisrael. It's possible to assume that you can be also a servant as a Jew and be considered a respectful position. So therefore, that will not be the reason, he says over here in the footnote, that cannot be the reason why we would have assumed that when it says Kisik Eved Ivri, it means the Eved of a Ivri, we talk about a Knaini, as if by Jews there's no such a thing as Eved. It's possible. So this is the point as we stand over here in the end of Siv Beis. The summary is that the Rebbe explains why is it the assumption that Eved Ivri means the Eved of a Ivri, not the Eved Ivri alone. And basically the word is because at that time it was practically impossible that a Yid should be the one to be sold of a Eved. So we continue to see if Gimel. Rabbi Chomesh the Mikro, Ken the Chomesh tell the Shaila, what he learned freer, as Avraham Avinu had geat an Eved, Eliezer, for noch far, den Briz bein Absorim, und is geblieben, Eved Avraham, euch zendlige Jor spät später, wenn sie werde erzählt, was ein Schliches, zum Meshadach sein, Yitzchak Avinu. So this is the following question that Bechomesh Miko may ask. We already learned previously in the Torah that Avraham owned a servant, his name was Eliezer. And that servant he owned even before the Bris Ben Avsorim, before the covenant between the parts. And Eliezer remained Avram's servant for decades following the covenant. Even later, as the Torah tells us, the old narrative of Eliezer's mission to find a wife for Yitzchak. So at that time he was still a servant. And this brings up the following difficulty. What is the difficulty? As he bald, Avraham mekayim given kol ha'tere kol ha'tshalei nitno, v'rashi et shefriya mefarish given. Is vi kumtos as Avraham had gehalten an evet knani Eliezer, azei fil yorn, un ot nit mekayim given dem tzivri ha'tere do, ashei shonim yaveid, ubashvi is yeter lachof shechinom, eib dos meint avdoi shel ivri. Question which is the difficulty with the idea of Avraham owning a slave, we know, and Rashi brings it also previously, that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah before the Torah was given at Sinai. So the question is, how could Avraham own a Knaniite servant, which is in this case Eliezer, as Eifel Yoram for so many years, and this is simply, clearly a violation of this Torah commandment, that we just read in this parsha here, that you can only own a slave, work for you for 6 years.
And the 7 years, the seventh year, you have to let him free. Right? So assuming that this pasuk refers to a servant of a Hebrew, avdei shel Ivri, as we learned before, in Rashi's explanation that you might assume that that's what the pasuk talks about, so when the B'chomesh L'mikra, the student will hear that assumption, he's going to wonder, so what happened to Avram? How did he keep his servant? The Ribel Muzrashi Bavorilem Beparshasenu Adem Inyan. So Rashi has to address this issue. When you learn this pasuk, if you assume to say that this is Eved Shel Ivri, that you can't keep him more than 6 years, so that's an issue which is pressing right now for Rashi to address. So the Rebbe says, bring to the selbe stire no be yeser toikef from pasik u mitze mefureshes batero mani mekayim vishnachalte moiso. Instead, Rashi addresses the same issue regarding Avram's conduct, but instead of dealing with Avram, he deals with even a more pressing issue, a greater issue, which is based on the pasuk and a mitzvah, which specifically says in the Torah, as Rashi says, "Umani mekayim vishnachalte moisa." How will I then fulfill, since you have to let him go after 6 years? So Rashi says, how will I fulfill the mitzvah you should bequeath him, which means that you should give the servant over to the next generation, which keep him in your possession for all the time. And for Enfield, Rashi immediately resolves this question by saying that what? That this pasuk talks about beloikuach min anochri. That it talks about a Canaanite servant who has been purchased from a Gentile. And this was the case that gave Eliezer of Avram. That's how was the case, but Avram also purchased Eliezer from a goy, and therefore he was able to keep him for all the years. So basically, the reason Rashi brings the issue, which was before mentioned as the third question in the beginning of the Sicha, is not Rashi knows that the B'chomesh L'mikra is going to question the idea that when you buy a servant of a Yid, a goyish servant belonging to a Yid, you can, you have to let him go after 6 years. So Rashi says, since you are going to be bothered by it, so let me tell you even more. You're going to be bothered with a pasuk you're going to learn later. And just as you're going to answer that pasuk that it talks about that it was bought from a Gentile, that's specifically in that pasuk. So here too, you will answer Eliezer's, the head of Avram to buy Eliezer. And that's why Rashi brings up the issue which is only really going to be mentioned in Parshas Be'ar. So this is how the Rebbe answered the third child. Now we're going back to our discussion. So then, now that we know that there is a possibility to assume that Eved means Eved Shel Ivri, Al Pianal, Siv Dalet, is verstandig. Al Pianal is verstandig. Sorry, let's just learn over 30. It's interesting. The Rebbe makes a cheshbon. For how long did Avram keep Eliezer? So he says that not only was his servant for so many years, he says in order to live, he said, Mizu, or Yavdo Yoisa Miyoivil Shonim. He was his servant for more than 50 years. Sharei, Bizman, Brit Ben Absorim, Oya Avram Ben Ayan Shono. Repirush Rashi Boy. Avram Avinu, Rashi in Parshas Boy discusses it, Avram Avinu was 70 years old at the time of the covenant between the parts. Benisuye Yitzchok, or Yuayin Shono Leachize. Yitzchok's marriage was 70 years after that, meaning when Avram was 140 years old. Sharei, Yitzchok Nolad LeAvram Keshoya Ben Kuf Shono. Yitzchok was born when Avram was 100 years old. Benoso is Rivka Keshoya Ben Mem. The Tanya Pasha told us he married at the age of 140. So, Yitzchok, who got married 70 years after Bris Ben Absorim, means that Avram was 140 years then. So at least, between the time till Yitzchok got married, which Eliezer was the one who brought the Shidach, we see clearly that Eliezer served as a servant for so many years to Avram. Continue Siv Dalet. Pian alle verstandig, was Rashi bringt vom Postig auch die Werte gesignen, weil das ist mechazig dem Perush, hat das meint, Eved Ivri. Now we can understand the first question that the Rebbe asked in the beginning of the Sikha. Why Rashi quotes the words kisikne if you buy, since he's seemingly explaining only about what Eved, because this word kisikne will support what Rashi tells us here, that the Pasig refers to a servant who is a Hebrew, not a servant of a Hebrew. Varum, Lechure is the Agdomas HaKos of Kisikne Iberik. Essentially, the preface of the Pasig, Kisikne, if you buy, is seemingly unnecessary. Why? But you can't only mit Netzem Din, the Torah could have begin with the law itself. That what? Eved Ivri, Sheishonim Yavid, a Hebrew servant should work for 6 years. And when Megifin becomes the Torah, Adar the Parsha say the Makish Vameish, we find it similarly in our Parsha also. Makish, one who strikes a man, so he dies. So too, Eved Ivri, Sheishonim Yavid. What is the kisikne? Why is the introduction kisikne? The Lashon kisikne, says the Rebbe, the word of if you buy kisikne, the way it's in Hebrew, meant a peula beosid. This is referring to action that will be performed not now, but rather in the future. Kitikne. Obe beoive is noch di peula nito. In the present time, you did not perform that activity yet. Unochme bin yoneinu, not only you didn't perform it technically, but siz iberhoipt nitshayech be'oive, this action is impossible altogether at the time of the present. Bibald, as we spoke before, asom gi'ad bidas mitzrayim ve'ayam, that the Jewish people possessed the spoils taken from Egypt and from the sea, and therefore they had enough. And a Jew could only be sold into a servant if he's unable to repay what he stole. And that did not exist at that time. And that's what the word kisikne also indicates something in the future. Bimele is muchach as do retzich veng di knie fun a evet shehu ivri was beoive demol di das nitshayich un nit veng na evet knani avdoi shel ivri. So that proves that the Pasuk clearly refers to buying a servant, Shehu Ivri, who is a Hebrew, which at that time was impossible. Was impossible, but that's what the Pasuk talks about. But the Pasuk does not talk about a Canaanite servant who belongs to a Hebrew. Why? So the Rebbe clearly explains. The fact that it says kisikne, if you buy, right? If you buy, is not appropriate to be they're referring to buying a Canaanite servant. Why? Because of their great wealth at that time, the Jewish people certainly owned Knaaniite servant. They had Knaaniite servant. That's not kisikne in the future. The purchase of a Knaaniite servant is a common occurrence then, and not something that would only take place in the future. And therefore, kisikna in the future can only mean when you talk about a eved ivri, a eved who is a Hebrew. Because only a eved who is a Hebrew, you can apply the kisikna in the future, since now no Jew is being sold as a eved. Wouldn't be making sense to write kisikna about a Jew. I'm sorry, about a Knaaniite. And the fact that it says kisikna, something which you're only going to do in the future, is the biggest proof that it talks about the Jew, and therefore Rashi also, in his header to the explanation on the pasuk, he brings the word kisikne eved ivri. But then comes the question the other way. Seife, al pizei, so ben nit verstandig. Favos da keibt on di tere, di dinim vum mishpatim, teike flacha matn tere, mit dem din, eved ivri, was is demol given am milse de le shchiche klal. Und nit mit a dover a rogil ve oive. So then the question is, why taki indeed does the Torah begin teaching us Shpatim? Shpatim, this is the rational laws coming right after Matan Torah. Right? It starts with the laws of a Eved Ivri, a Hebrew servant, which at that time, as we just explained, was very uncommon. Why doesn't the Torah begin with relevant laws? Why taki not? Ubifrat noch, as gesigne wird ivri, dat die Zoe von der Friede kepule von Gneve. Fa welcher es mechuyev zu zoll chamisho, oder albo, oder schnaim, und im ein loi nim ka begnevosei. Und doch die Tere lechure zum Ersten gedacht, onslang die Friede kedine von chuyev der Schlumei, kam op om im kocho, hey, dalet ve schnaim. Especially, the question becomes even further. The question becomes especially even stronger since the sale which the Torah discusses this year, Kisikne Vedivri, is a result that this person stole and the Ganev is obligated to pay. As the Torah discusses later, there is sometimes he pay five times the amount, four times the amount, or double the amount. Whatever value that you stole. And as the Torah says, in a lack of means, meaning that you can't pay what you stole, then you sell him for this theft by working as a slave. He's going to pay off that what you stole. So the Rebbe asks, it makes more sense that the Torah should have first introduced the laws that apply when you steal. What is the theft obligation? 5, 4, 2. And then discussing the purchase of a servant if you can't afford, if you are unable to pay what you stole. Und wie bald, dass die Schwierigkeit im politischen Mikro is nit moving for was Rashi, was is mefarish alle kushe, the pshutische mikro, verrennt for das nit befirushe. Und wenn wir gefinnen Tage in andere meforsche, hat er aber vorinnen, dass er gamse ihre Perushe, in einem nit in ganzen, hat er chapschat, wie Pirush Rashi. The question is, why Tage, it's a difficulty in pshat, why does Rashi not try to explain it? It's a question in pshat, why would we speak about something so uncommon? And why do we speak about something that we don't even have the laws about what he has to do if he steals? Especially that the other commentaries, the Gadish Mitzayim, the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, the Avarvanel, they all have explanations. It's not explanations al pipshat, But they explain that the Torah wants to begin with the idea of a slave, because Matan Torah, we all became slaves to Hashem, and all kinds of other interesting perushim and pshatim, but all this perushim is not in Pshuto Shel Mikra. And the main question is, why is it the first thing coming right after Matan Torah? We can't zogin aber befruder sche mikro das kein kasche nit weil der habchat is nit muchrach atam va zbore of smichus tzivu ya mitzvas. So someone can argue and say that in pshat it's not a big question, because according to pshat we don't have any reason to find and explain the closeness of one mitzvah written next to another mitzvah. So it doesn't question us why is it written right after Matan Torah. But that cannot be an answer. Warum neisaf of them was bereish parsha seinu gufa, and even in our own parsha, Rashi says, Rashi madgish ve'eila, why does the post begin ve'eila amishpotim, not eila? So Rashi says, moisif ala rishonim, Ma rishoni misinai, af elu misinai. The word ve'ele comes to tell you that ve and this, the just as the those which have been stated previously in the Ten Commandments came from Sinai, so too the commandments of Pashas Mishpatim also came from Sinai. And Rashi says right away, ve'lo amonismecho, Pashas Dinin, and why was Mishpatim, the section that deals with judicial cases, why is it placed right next to her, the Parsha of Hizbeach? That's the first Rashi in Mishpatim. So Rashi clearly tells us that, according to Pshat, it does make sense to ask about one Parsha being introduced first or right next to a previous Parsha. Right? So that you can't answer that it doesn't make sense. Especially al pi anal is doch dos rishpachol emate de bidat mitzrayim v'ayam di svore fun kosuke dai toch in de pirush rashi as de pasuk gerettet wegen de evedim lo ben evet knani. This itself, that our parsha comes after the story of the spoils that they had coming out of Mitzrayim, is the reason why we understand that this, why we would have assumed that we're talking about the Eved of a Ivri, not the Eved Ivri itself, as we explained earlier. Void ve'ikel, do kenoch etan ki tikne Eved Ivri, eida v'paskin ledim v'nikba b'gnivosre. The main thing is that before we know that you sell him, so you can't even tell me that you buy. First he is sold, and then comes the second stage where you are coming over and purchasing them. So the question is, how does and why is it that the Torah begins with, back to the question, why does the Torah begin with the story of the Eved Ivri? Yishleimus evolved, the Rebbe comes and explains. As Rashi, it was bavornt, mit ein Perush in Hemshech Parshasenu. Rashi actually did give us an insight by what he says later in the Pasha. What does Rashi say later? In Peik Chofalos Chofalos, when it comes to this, to the Pasik that we are pursing is here, says Rashi, why is it here? Says Rashi, Ma ro oizen li rotza. What is it about the ear that it should be pursed? Mikol shari vorm shebeguf, of all other organs of the body. Says Rashi, Yomar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Oizen zoi sheshoma al Har Sinai leisignoiv, this ear that heard at Har Sinai you shall not steal ve'olach ve'gonav, and nonetheless he went and stole, tei rotza, let that ear be pursed. Right? This reason applies in the case one who is sold into slavery by the Besdin because of theft. And if he sells himself because of poverty, which is another reason, as the way he becomes a servant. So why does he get cursed if he wants to stay after 7 years? Says Rashi, Oyden Shishom al Har Sinai, and here that he heard that Har Sinai kelim Yisrael avodim, that you are the slaves and the servants of Hashem. Ve'olach ve'kona odom le'atzmoi. And he went and acquired a different master for himself, Terotza, let it be pursed. This is what Rashi says in the next few psukim. So what do we see from here? The Rebbe says like this, what is the explanation? This is actually going to explain us why the story of Eved is mentioned here first, right after Matan Torah. Bei anderen Mitzvahs gefind man nicht, dass die Tere so ein Madgisch ein, die Scheiches von der Schar Mitzvah zu der Mitzvah. Wenn wir discuss other Mitzvahs, we don't find a direct correlation between a Mitzvah and its reward. For example, bei Dugma die Mitzvah von Kibbut Ava Eim, honoring parents, was ihr Schar ist leman yarichun yomecho. Torah says that your days are going to be lengthened. You're going to live a longer life. What's the connection between long life and honoring parents? We don't see the clear relationship, the correlation between them. Neusaf of them was the schar is nikar bald noch der mitzvah no leachar arichus man rav. In general, when you're going to give a long life for honoring your parents, the reward is only realized after a very long time, not at the time when you are honoring them. But in addition, is in the mehus haschar, nit kentik the shaychus to the mitzvah dafke. We don't see correlation between the reward, the substance of the reward, and the specific performance of this mitzvah. This is in positive mitzvahs. Val derech ze, and similarly by oinshim of averes, when it comes to punishment of averes, zet men nit in dem oinish malkes oder kores vekayoitze boze, aber zundere shaiches zu di averes vo seinem chayev di oinshim. We don't find correlation between the penalties, whether it's lashes or kores. You get lashes for any prohibition, a biblical prohibition which has an activity, or kodesh, let's say you ate chometz on Pesach. We don't find again the correlation between the punishment and the substance of the punishment and the substance of the aveda. By Eved Ivri, aber verbindt die Tere dem Oynesh mit sein Sibbe. This is the exception of the story of the Hebrew servant, that the Torah specifically explains the punishment and the cause for the punishment. Verotza es oznoi, kum der far vos oizen sheshomo al Har Sinai. His pursing is here because they hear, heard, an Har Sinai, don't steal, etc. That's what you're getting piercing, because you didn't listen, you didn't hear. So the punishment is directly, there's a correlation between the punishment and the violation itself. And here the Rebbe adds something which is being explained in Lent, in a Sicha, Chedek Yud Aleph, a very beautiful Sicha on this concept, which we learned last year, starting project Lekut HaSichas. If you didn't learn it yet, you probably want to learn it. It's an amazing Sicha, dear. But the Rebbe adds it here. Und chot, as der chiv and verrot, adela vesoznoi, kumt nit bald by the peulas for some gerim given to sein an Eved Ivri. Right? This obligation that the master has to pierce his ear is carried out later. not immediately when the servant became an Hebrew servant, when he stole, or when he was sold. Not erst nachdem, 6 years later, when Omar Yemar Eved, or Hafti, Sadenius, Ishti Vesbona, Eloyetsa Chavshi. And as the Pasuk says, and the Eved says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free, then is when a person is here. So seemingly, it's not clearly for the violation. Is the Rebbe explains, which like I said before, this is in Chelek Yud Aleph, it says, doch nit kein oynish der farbus zogt or afti. Or der farbus oydin sheshom al arsina li signoi v'olach v'gonav. Or der sheshom al arsina ikinid meisol avodi v'olach v'kolvon ele atzmoi gleich when er is goyrem unvert ha'eved ivri. This punishment is, the punishment doesn't come because he says, I love my master. It comes because he heard that Har Sinai, you should not steal. And he went to stole. He heard that Har Sinai, that you are servants to me, Hashem. And he went and he acquired a master of himself. This took place much earlier than the piercing. Right when he became, through his own action, a Hebrew servant. It's only when he says so afti, it retroactively brings out that his stealing was because he cared less about Leisignaif. When he says so afti, it shows that when he sold himself is really because he cared less about being a Shem servant. And that's why your person is here at this point. But it's really for the retroactively act of selling himself. So either way, there is a clear correlation between the punishment and the violation. And that's what is so special about this mitzvah, the Rebbe continues. The mit is mevuer. Was kisikne evedivri is the erste von dem Mishpatim, was die Tere sagt on Techef le'achem matn Tere be'ar Sinai. This clarifies why this mitzvah of buying, this discussion about the evil servant is the first teaching immediately after following matn Tere. By an evedivri zet sich on in sein oynesh be'oifun goloi v'niker euch in sein guf agashmi. Der Verbund von sein Mishpat mit Ar Sinai. Because by a Eved Ivri is where you see the correlation between his ear being pierced, which is the punishment, and Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. This is clearly evident, clearly recognized in a recognized manner, even in the physical body. So because we are coming from Matan Torah, so the Torah introduces first the type of violation which and the consequences for that violation in a way that you realize that you are coming now from Matan Torah and you hear it heard like signals or Kilibne Yisrael Avodin. Val Pianal, Pirush Rashi Oizen Sheshoma, in the light of this, where Rashi explains, Rashi brings the word of Urna Mezakai that he heard, is a chidush ikri in the dinim von Eved Ivri. Der nit folgen dem onzog be'ar Sinai. So what Rashi clearly tells us is that what is the most important issue, the most significant factor of Eved Ivri is the fact that he did not listen to that which was given on Har Sinai. That's the more significant factor determining this the theft. Der nit folgen dem Onzog bei Har Sinai. And that's what comes out the way Rashi explains why his ear is being pierced. Und der ein loy venimkar mitzadem goydel atashlumin is a sibachitzoinis. the fact that he didn't have money to pay back, and therefore is being sold for his thefts due to his inability to pay, he can't pay the fine, this is extra. This is not the reason why is being punished here, why is being punished. Therefore, the Torah puts the halacha of the ivri, of a servant, right next to her, with the concept of Misinai, of that which was given, the story which happened in our Sinai. For this very same reason, umeramez di shaychus legneve in dem pratum verotza esosnoi, and only hints the correlation to theft in the context of ear piercing. The idea is that what we are comparing to Sinai is the fact that you are getting punished for not hearing the words of Sinai. That's what the Torah wants to emphasize. But the main thing is that based on the way we have learned, it's clearly now that we are talking about Eved Ivri, and why we are talking about Eved Ivri seeming something unusual, it's only going to happen in the future, because here is where you find the connection to Har Sinai. And this continues if Zion al Pibur and Alpirush Rashiv Kisik the Kum Tsunachat Sefas has Borebose. Based on that understanding in Rashi, and with Kisikne, we can have an additional clarity in the following issue. When the Metzias von Eved Ivri will demol bald noch matten tere given a dover a rogel veo oive, what may he can zogin, as does gufe is the tam, was der din is ongezogivon rishoino, was is a inyan was is negea teche flache matten tere. Had this concept of a Hebrew servant, had it be a common thing at that time, not like we have understand now that it wasn't common, but had it be common, and all the laws relevant at that time immediately after Matan Torah, then, says the Rebbe, it would have been room to suggest that this law was taught first, the first in Mishpatim, because there was involved something which was common immediately after Matan Torah. Wie bald aber als Eved Ivri ist demult gewähnt Kanal Gorainien von Ossid und als seltener Fall. But since, as we explained, these laws was something which would only be relevant in the future, at that time, ownership of a Hebrew servant was something unusual. Ist das Machiach zu sagen, as the time was the din is ongezogivon betchilo is mitzad dem inye meyuchet von Eved Ivri zain shaychus meyuchedes for Sinai. So this itself teaches us that the reason why this law of a Eved Ivri is being taught first is because, like we said before, the particular concept, the feature of this law is unique in the way it corresponds to the Har Sinai, the connection to Har Sinai. It's unique because you punish him in a way that you emphasize that he was standing at Har Sinai and he did not follow the instructions given to him at Sinai. So this is basically what the Rebbe comes with the conclusion of the explanation in Rashi, that Mitake talking about the unusual situation, that's why Rashi does spend time to discuss the Ave Amina, to assume that the assumption that maybe it's Evet Knani, because it makes more sense to say it's that Evet, but still the fact that it has Kisikna in the future, and especially the way it's derived from the fact that you sell them, etc. By Bezdin, it talks about a Hebrew slave, that Rashi also brings the word kisikna. And the word kisikna is actually what teaches us. Tikna means in the future that it talks about the Hebrew slave. And the reason it's being discussed first, because this is the first and the unique mitzvah which you find the correlation between the consequence for not for the violation with the mitzvah itself. Connection to our Sinai, whom we're coming now from. The Rebbe concludes Seif Ches, explaining this idea al pichsidus of Eved Ivri. Ve'yumtak al pipnimitza en yonim. Ibal de ganze mechuvim fatachis matentere is zu uftan duch teiro mitzvahs dem bidul vezikuch in den yonim vom Welt. Sh'enken teiro mitzvahs von die ofers farmatere ve'bal velchob it peul given ashinu in gashmis vom Welt. The Rebbe says that it's we're going to understand that further, since the purpose and the objective of Matan Torah was to refine and purify the worldly matters through Torah study and through mitzvahs, which is a contrast to the Torah mitzvahs which was performed by our forefathers before Matan Torah. This did not change the physicality of the world, and as such, the first of the mishpatim given following Matan Torah, the Riber is the erste von dem Mishpatim nach Matan Torah, is a tzivu v'din, was in em zetzir begolui, vi Matan Torah poilt euch in Gashmi Soilo. That's why that we see that the first of the Mishpatim is discussing and something which left an impact on the world physically. And it brings in Ore 40, ויום תקיוי, ושלצבא כאן פעומים בחידוש דה פרשס משפוטים על פרשס ישרוי. It's being explained, what's the חידוש of משפוטים over ישרוי? The פרשס ישרוי מדובר על דבר מתן תדה. ישרוי discusses the very fact of מתן תדה. עצם ביטל הגזרה דליינים ידו לתחתנים ותחתנים יעלו אליינים. The nullification of the decree in bridging heavens and earth. This is Matan Torah, which is Yisroi. Parshas Mishpatim, Nishadesh Oyin Dir B'Tachtenim. Mishpatim brings out the concept of Dir B'Tachtenim, to create a dwelling home for Hashem in this low world. Ki atzivuim b'parshoseinu, em dvorim shegam sichloi shel odom echayvam. Because that which is being told in Mishpatim, and that which the person's mind understands, ve'afal pichen oise oise mitatzivi Hashem. You don't do them because your mind understands, you're doing them because Hashem tells you, and this is the concept of bringing down into every aspect in the world. So the Rebbe says, in dem trikt sich heute dagas avede von der Eved Ivri. This idea of Matan Torah having an impact on the physicality of the world, this concept is particular in avede, symbolized by the idea that the Chassidus explained what is a Hebrew servant. As he brings Chteras Achsides in Mevad Drei Madreges Eved Knani Eved Ivri Un Omo Ivrio in Avedas Od Hashem Benefesh Od. Chassidus explains there are three different categories of personal Aveda, which is symbolized by the Knaniite servant, the Hebrew servant, and the Jewish maidservant. Eved Knani is there was the nefesh of Bahamis is by him betokfoy avde befkere nichele. The Knaniite servant, he salutes to someone who is involved and he gives in to his animalistic soul. Animalistic soul, which is unzitzich lemato to taiva salamaza. And he's being drawn to the desires of this world. And noris koyfe atzmoi uniz oved Hashem b'maisa b'peil mamesh b'sur mera v'asei toiv yisat kabbala soil uneimos ha'odo. Really he's being pulled towards materialistic pleasures, but he restrains himself. He's a eved. He restrains himself to serve Hashem in practical Aveda. The way he does it, he stays away from sin, performs good deeds, accepting the yoke of Hashem, having the so-called fear of his master, but not changing his desire, this is still animalistic. Evet Knani is a servant for the Knani, like a Knani. He's a servant, is still as an animal soul dominating him. But he still serves Hashem as an Evet. The Avodah of an Evet Ivri, the second type of Avodah, the Hebrew servant, this is already a loftier Avodah, a Echer Darge, a higher level. Ba'em then he made the Midas for Nefesh Likis in Nefesh HaBehamis. Biz, as Oich, the Nefesh HaBehamis, is Doa Chukal Hashem. This is already that his Midah is his emotional faculties of the godly soul illuminate his animalistic soul all the way to the extent that the animal soul also yearns for Hashem. Chukal Hashem. There is aber noch nicht das abgewohnte Gedusche, also da nicht oben kein Chemda zu Teibu Selamase, but still, it wasn't changed. It wasn't changed not to have any desire. Al derech vian eved was bringt a rein in ois alle yitztarchiois for the bnei bais von achille vishtia they dain oba noch nid roi la achilas odom lein noch nid gekocht nid geendert von seir friedike meus. Rebbe explains what is a Ibu servant. He says a Ibu servant is the animal soul is not being totally transformed to holiness. We're not talking about a person that has no pleasure or desire for materialism, but his emotional attributes are also influenced with the emotional attributes of the godly soul. He compares it to a servant who brings food and drink into his master's home to provide for all the needs of his master's family. Right? Now, what he provides them is not yet fit for human consumption. It's not yet cooked. He brings the materials and has not been transformed from the previous raw form. He only brings it into the house. He brings it into the house. And then the kitchen people are going to change it and to cook it and to make it into food. So too, this Eved, this servant over here, similarly, has not changed things. The raw items which is represented by his animal soul are still there. But they are dominated by Gedusha, by holiness, in a way that is even introducing so-called emotional attributes coming from the godly soul. And the animal soul can also develop a yearning to God, but it doesn't get transformed. It's like a raw item. It doesn't get transformed. The Avodah of Naoma Ivriyo is, then there is the Avodah of a Hebrew maidservant, Sarsidas, it was the Taivas, Umidas, and Shabahamis, Veren is Apech Ligdusha, Bidos and Chuke is Nordselikus, that the desires and motive faculties of his animal soul is being transformed into holiness, that the person only yearns godliness, that's it, Nordselikus. This is different levels of Avodah discussed in Chassidus. And the meat is moving was the atchole from the mishpatim l'achem matentere. But those bring tarois the peule from matentere in welt is mididinim from Eved Ivri. This will explain us why the first of the mishpatim falling matentere, which matentere clearly discusses about affecting the world. So here too, the effect of matentere on the world is the laws of a Eved Ivri, of the Hebrew servant. Baldos Eved Ivri is the Tchol Atcholas Avede from the Eden Lachem Matenter. to be an Hebrew servant, this avoda is the initial type of avoda of service of a Jewish person following Matter. First thing, Poel Zayin if Nefesh Bahamis Uninyon Eilom Bechlal Azedol Nishtanevel Unarainkumen in Reshus Agdusha. Was Engen der Avoda von dem Knani ist noch ich geschino ja Miti in seine Midas weil der er sehr wechelke Beulam. Because the first thing is transforming the animalistic soul and worldly matters and bringing them into the domain of holiness, Reshus HaKedusha. This is what the Eved Ivri does. In contrast, the Eved Knani, the Knani Antaveda, does not truly really change the servant's motives, faculties, or his environment, his portion in the world, is not changed, and therefore, after Matan Torah, is what Rashi says, our Pasuk talks about the Eved Ivri. So that's the main avoda, transforming. On the Achize, kum der Emshech beparsha, if the words come the Emshech, kum der avoda von Omer Ivri, from the maidservant, as min is mehapich, the midas von Nefesh Bahamis, not only you are transforming the... You bring in them into Kedusha, but you transform even the midos, the emotional faculties of Shabamis, and they should all become a house, a Dira Leizborach, a house for Hashem. So this is already the so-called, the higher Avoda, the final Avoda. So what comes out from the Sicha, when you read the Pasuk, is Sikne Eved Ivri, Shei Shonim Yavoid. So clearly, the Pasuk talks about a situation that even though now you are wealthy, because of all the spoil you took out from Mitzrayim and by the Yamsuf, and at that point, the Torah comes and tells us that nonetheless, it may come a time when things will be different. And in the future, it might be a possibility that a person may become so poor that he steals something and he cannot pay back its value. And the court may sell him for a period of 7 years of service in order to use the price paid for him to pay back that which he had stolen, right? So the Torah says, if you buy such an Ibu servant from the court, he must serve for 6 years, and in the seventh year he must go free, and so on. So then, clearly, the Torah talks about a case, kisikne, something which is only going to happen in the future, and that's what led Rashi to understand that it talks about the Hebrew slaves.